The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning. This is Ryan Tubridy. It is Friday. I'll explain that in a moment. Friday morning, it's the 31st. of January 2020, and we are of course live and ready to rock and roll. We're here till 10 o'clock. The text number is 51551. You can email ryan@rte.ie at 9:05. Feels like a big day, doesn't it? Feels like a great sense of history and movement and comings and certainly goings. And yeah, you can hear it in the news. You can get a sense of even with our own election in the air, and the impeachment in the States and Brexit Day today and so forth. There's a lot happening in terms of history on the hoof. Intriguing time to be alive, no doubt about that. The Super Bowl, meanwhile, will be taking place in the next few days in the United States of America. And it's, of course, it's this event that you're kind of you're either into it or you're not. I think that I know there are people in Ireland, there'll be a small bunch of people who are probably into it. I've no interest in it at all. Although I do have a very memorable evening watching it one night with a brother of mine, and we were in Southie, I think they call it, in Boston, in a bar, and he was trying to, in a very patient way, explain to me how it all works. So I got into it for the course of a couple of hours, but otherwise no big interest. But what tends to travel across the ocean is the stuff that happens during the commercial breaks and the acts that play and all that sort of carry on. So this story is about the ad break, the commercial break during the Super Bowl this year. And it all centres around a man and his dog. And this guy had a dog called Scout. His name was David McNeil, as it turns out. And in the summer, last summer, this guy David was told that his dog had been diagnosed with an aggressive cancer in his blood vessel walls. Now you think, how do we go from Scout the dog to the Super Bowl? And what's the relevance between the two? So I'll explain it all now. Back to the cancer diagnosis for the dog. It wasn't good. The prognosis was bad. And the vet said that the 7-year-old dog had just a 1% chance of survival and about a month to live. So this guy clearly loves his dog. He couldn't figure out what he was going to do. So he decided, I'll bring him to the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And there he underwent chemotherapy and radiation to target the tumour on the dog's heart. And a month later, the vets reported, and 1 month later, that, listen, we've got some good news. The tumour in your dog, Scout, it's shrunk by nearly 80%. And then it fell again to 90%. And now the dog is fully recovered. Tumour's almost completely disappeared. And to thank the people at the university, this guy, David McNeil, put together a 30-second ad. And that's how we end up in the Super Bowl. This 30-second ad will broadcast during the Super Bowl. This is not an inexpensive way to spend a weekend. He's put this ad together called Lucky Dog, which tells Scout's story from diagnosis to recovery. And the advert, which will be played during the second quarter of Super Bowl on the 2nd of Feb, cost David McNeil, owner of Scout, $6 million to make and to put up during the Super Bowl. And in it you see the dog playing on a beach before walking down the halls of the veterinary school alongside some of the real life pet health experts who's helped save his life. And at the end of the commercial, viewers are encouraged to donate to the cancer research efforts via a link on McNeil's company website and all that kind of thing. But it's what a subplot to the Super Bowl story, spending $6 million by way of saying thanks for keeping the dog alive, one man and his dog. But, you know, people and their pets, they're so close to them and they're such a big part of their family that you can kind of see, well, if he has it and he wants to do it, off he goes. Father Ray will be dancing again on Sunday like so many others. And Ken Sweeney was writing in the Irish Sun this morning. He went to Oldcastle in County Meath to talk to some of the people to find out how they felt about the dancing priest. And you get two reactions. You see, one woman says, a lot of the locals don't approve. He should leave the priesthood and become an entertainer. I don't think he's doing a service to the Catholic Church. It might have brought people to the church when he first started singing on YouTube. But now people are like, oh, please don't sing at my wedding. That's one comment. And then another says, he's putting the town on the map. We love watching him on Dancing with the Stars. He's lovely. And he still survived. But here's the kicker. There's a picture of him with his housekeeper in the Irish Sun this morning. And what's his housekeeper's name?
Mrs. Coyle. I mean, you couldn't write it up. Or you couldn't make it up, I should say. And there's Mrs. Coyle pictured offering Father Ray, another three-letter father, a cup of tea, saying, you will. So he's divided the audience and he's getting a lot of backlash for it, but hopefully he's not reading too much of it. To me, the bottom line is, it's all a bit of fun. So let them all off. Let them all off. Have a bit of crack and don't be mean. If you don't like it, that's fine, but you don't have to be mean about it. Just in the same paper, Willy Wonka could return to screens as a woman in a shake-up of Roald Dahl's classic character. Stars such as Charlize Theron may be approached in a radical reimagination for a prequel to Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. The mind boggles a little bit sometimes on things, but if that's the way it's going, that's the way it's going. Vegans of Ireland, how would you feel about this piece about a patch that has been infused with the scent of bacon? And it's been developed by a scientist with the aim of helping people who choose to adopt a plant-based diet curb their meat cravings. So for those vegans who are going, geez, I love nothing, I would love to get my teeth into a good burger. This device was created by Charles Spencer, who's a professor of experimental psychology at the University of Oxford. And he specialises in sensory perception and the way in which the mind is connected to our senses of taste and smell. And he collaborated with a plant-based food company. And when a person who's wearing the patch scratches it, produces a smell. Scratch and sniff, didn't they used to have that in the 80s? It produces a smell similar to that of cooked bacon, which may help those who wish to refrain from eating meat to imagine that they are eating bacon, which should supposedly sate their appetite. So that's one for the vegans. In other bits and pieces of news, King Charles I, who was found guilty of treason, and he was beheaded. And he was beheaded outside Banqueting House in Whitehall, London, on January the 30th, 1649. Who cares? Well, the vest he wore that day, it was apparently handed in to the Museum of London in 1925 with an authentication note saying it was worn by Charles I on the day he was beheaded. It's made from high-quality, pale blue-green silk and was given to the physician who attended him. So off at his head, here's the shirt, good luck with that. Where does it end up? 2020, we're told. It's now part of an exhibition on executions at the Museum of London called Executions, which opens, which is, may or may not be open, but it's there. So the vest is there, and the vest has stains on its front, which could be either sweat, vomit, or another substance. I'm going to go with vomit. For starters, because if you're going to face the chop, you're going to get sick. And then a fair bit of, probably about half a pint of sweat because your nerves will be gone. And as for the other substances, that might have come after the event, but we'll see. So King Charles I's execution vest, complete with stains, on display in the Museum of London, if you happen to be over there. Text 51551, probably should have just given the $6 million to the university, as these, as you say, shaggy dog stories go. So instead of paying for a Super Bowl commercial, the actor Ryan Reynolds is giving away free phone service. The company Mint Mobile, owned by Ryan Reynolds, will set you up with 3 months on the 3GB plan. No strings attached if you sign up between kickoff and the final whistle. It will still cost him less than taking out a 30-second ad during Super Bowl. I'm not sure I understand any of what I've just read out, but I presume it makes sense to people who understand that world. But it's a tech. Thank you, 51551. I'm going to lie to you and say I did understand that. I didn't necessarily. Our friends in the BBC, obviously, were looking wistfully back at all of the Brexity thing and the phenomenon of it. And they put together this little drive-by compilation of that was the Brexit that was.
The British people have spoken and the answer is we're out.
The country requires fresh leadership.
Brexit means Brexit. A general election.
You're joking. Not another one?
We cannot see any way at all that the Conservatives can get to the 3-2-6 mark, and we think it's pretty clear that there is going to be a hung parliament.
I believe our best days lie ahead of us.
Order! The news have it!
Flexible extension. Do not waste this time.
I will shortly leave the job.
I have accepted.
Suspend parliament.
Not acceptable.
Unlawful.
I do see a pathway.
We will pause this
legislation.
The Prime Minister, who said last month that he'd rather die in a ditch...
I'd rather be dead in a ditch.
...than ask for another Brexit delay, has now written to the European Council President accepting a three-month extension.
We're going to go out there with the biggest campaign this party has ever mounted.
Get Brexit done.
9 years to fund our NHS.
A little bit patronising.
The mess of Brexit.
Boris Johnson's deal is unacceptable.
I don't even know where that rumour started.
Our exit poll is suggesting that there will be a Conservative majority.
We don't give up.
I wish you well.
The ayes have it.
Yeah! Royal assent. European Union Withdrawal Agreement Act 2020.
Yep, 11 o'clock tonight. We say goodbye and to the UK from the European Union. 11 o'clock, I was going to say, why are they doing it at 11 and not 12? And of course, a very obvious answer. It's 12 o'clock in the European time in most countries. And so that's where that's going on. And it seems there'll be lots of events happening around the UK and indeed here on this island and around Europe. And we'll be marking it in our own way, as you'll see later on the Late Late Show at 11 o'clock. So stay tuned for that. In the UK, musically, there was a battle in the iTunes charts to see who could get to number one. And the battle was between an artist called Dominic Frisby, who has a big... successful song, I suppose, called 17 Million Offs. And then the other one is the Ode to Joy, as recorded by Andre Rieu, who I know is a big has a big fan base among you out there. And it looks like the EU anthem Ode to Joy is going to beat out the Leave effort and set to top the official singles charts today. So if you'll be hearing a bit of this, if you're listening to radio stations around Britain today. Giving a bit of welly there, isn't she? Fair play. But that's all pomp and ceremony. It's no use to them. They're out now. They're out, lads. They're gone. And that's the end of it.
You can't touch this.
MC Hammer and You Can't Touch This, apparently. Regarding Ode to Joy, I am always reminded of Clockwork Orange in the film. That's right. It was used to a great and creepy effect on that. And Ken... no better man for Beatles reference, says, did you remember Ode to Joy being used in Help, the Beatles movie? That little bit of irony there. Good morning to you, Ken, and thank you for that. Reminder, and somebody else is doing the Little Miss Sunshine dance. So it's amazing what music can do. You know, play tunes here every day and the music we play can come up just depending on the mood or suggestion, or you might hear something somewhere, remind you of or see a movie, whatever. But the song from Boys to Men the other morning, which we played... God, people have stopped me a lot to say, yeah, great, great, great. And I said, okay, well, do you want to hear this one as well? I swear. And I said, well, I wonder, like, would anyone want to hear any more of that than just that bit from All For One? Or would you think, no, that's just too much? You sure?
I swear, by the moon and the stars in the skies.
Like, that's your hors d'oeuvre. Now, do you want more? Do you want the full meal now? Are you happy with that? Little sorbet? No. Tell me what you think anyway, and at some stage I might give it a go. 51551. What am I talking about Brexit now? Most importantly, the squeaky shoe. I have a squeaky shoe. My left shoe and this particular pair of shoes is squeaky. And it's making a noise that I'm so... Do you ever see a movie called The Nutty Professor with Jerry Lewis? And he's looking at the girl in the chemistry class and she's chewing gum. And because he's going all nutty, his hearing is enhanced and he just hears that... It's a disgusting sound in any event, but it's completely... Well, that's what I feel the shoe is. It's making this... I was trying to figure out what class of noise and it was like... It's not far off that. You know, I know that sounds like a dog's toy or something. So I'm walking down the corridor and I'm thinking... He sounds mad. Sorry. Ryan, can I stop you for a second? Yeah. And I turn around and walk two steps. Can I help you? And they're going, God, he's not well. Have you heard his shoe? And then they go, what's wrong with the shoe? Well, it sounds like it's like a squeaky dog or a toy or, you know, Wheezy the Penguin from Toy Story. Yeah. It's like a Wheezy.
Wheezy?
Yeah, it's like a Wheezy penguin. Or anyway, I can't get rid of it. I'm just curious as to where do I go? The cobbler? I'm going to go to the cobbler, but they keep moving the shops around where I shop and I couldn't find them. So I'll find them eventually. Take the shoe, I'll hand it to them and say, what's the crack with that?
the squeaky shoe. It's a mystery, and I can't wait to. It's just, it's not good. It's not good. Now, you didn't tell us what you were laughing at. Sorry, I didn't. So at the beginning of the show. So here's, I'll tell you exactly what happened. I got this. So Grace, who I work with, sits across from me, and she has a cup, and it's a Roald Dahl Quentin Blake drawing on the cup, and I've been totally jealous of it for the last 6 months. So last weekend, I bought myself one, just to, you know, and it's like, I presume it's like when, you know, youngsters buy the same clothes. Like, she's gone, oh, because she was unique, and now she's not. And I did this despite her, and I bought myself a Roald. It's a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and it's really nice. And I said just as we were going on there, I said to the lads outside, I said, what material is this? Because it's like a camping cup. And they said, it's tin. You, like, you fool. I said, what, tin? So I was laughing at my stupidity. And then they obviously decided to, you know, drill into this conversation a little further, as I've heard people refer to it these days. We're drilling into this situation. And they found it's an enamel mug. And then they tell me that despite the name, they aren't just made of enamel. They're actually stainless steel coated in a durable layer of enamel. So I've got the full information now in front of me. And it's a, just before everyone, oh, can't you have enamel? It's a reusable cup. I'm using it every day. So it's fine. It's fine. And that's what I was laughing at. It wasn't that funny, but it was just explaining to you. Now, can I listen to that Boys to Men track? Parents of kids of a certain age who have watched Despicable Me 2 remember the Minions rendition of that. I might be the only person to admit this, but I just don't find the Minions funny. I know that sounds terrible because I love kids' stuff and kids' movies, but the Minions do nothing. Dead Poets Society famously used Ode to Joy when out playing rugby, as well as the fields of Athenry, says John and Donegal. And Norman Embray says, spring has officially begun. I just saw the male robin in my garden feeding the female. Well, yeah, funny you should say that. I've refilled all the feeders. Well, there's about five of them around the place, and the garden is busy, busy with all the little birds floating around, and it's such a lovely sight, and makes you feel happy. And Vivian says, our dog, Walter, has just come in looking for the squeaky toy. Well, maybe by the end of the day, I'll just stand over here for a second, and I might donate my shoe to Walter the dog, because it makes essentially the same noise. We'll be back in a minute.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Susan, that's a very aggressive message to be sending in. Banana bread without walnuts, Ryan, you're dead to me. Somebody else sent me an Instagram yesterday saying, I used to love you until I heard you say you didn't like, what do you call it, avocados. Avocados? Are we going to fall out over nuts in banana bread and not liking the sensation of... Or an olive. Do you ever, who likes olives? Good God. I know not lots of people do. God, I couldn't. Sorry about that, Susan. It looks like you terminated our partnership there. I live in Nace and Macaulay Place. Oh, yes, I mentioned that already. But another says, who says you have to slow down as you age? I am 65, arthritic, and I listen to you while mucking out my two rescue horses. If I stopped, I'd be disabled due to the joints seizing up. And my husband was a Peter Pan, but unfortunately he died at 65. But at least he never got old, which is a nice way of putting it. And thank you indeed for listening. Thanks for all your texts and emails and everything you send in to us. It's just magnificent. Tonight on The Late Late Show, as a brief reminder, we'll be talking to the First Minister, I should say, of Northern Ireland, the DUP leader, Arlene Foster, and we'll be talking to Marion Keyes, and we'll be talking to Tommy Reichenthal and to Susie Diamond, two survivors of the Belsen concentration camps. And so it's a very, very busy show indeed. Johnny Logan celebrating 40 years of What's Another Year on top of everything. So it's hectic tonight, and at 11 o'clock, of course, Brexit happens, and it's just one of those moments in time that we'll be there for. So we look forward to your company after the news tonight. Okay, well, I'm on a promise, really, haven't I?
I swear I'll be there.
I'll be there. I made her feel bad. Sorry, Susan. She said, you're right, Ryan. I apologise. Enjoy your banana bread, whatever way you like it. I couldn't switch you off anyway. Have a good week. Oh, we're friends again. Oh, thank God. Okay, I'm on a little TV business early next week, so I won't be with you Monday, Tuesday. See you Wednesday. Talk to you tonight on The Late Late Show at 9:35. Big, big show for you there. Thank you, team, here, meanwhile, as always, and we'll talk to you next time. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Sean O'Rourke. He's got a cracker of a show lined up for you, so stay tuned.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.